Welcome to my commentary on Peter's first epistle. This section, 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 22 through chapter 2, verse 3. Verse 22 says, "Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth," the truth here meaning the truth of the gospel. These people obeyed the gospel message, which was truth that Peter, Paul, and others spoke to them. And by accepting this truth, by trusting this truth, by giving themselves to this truth, they were in fact purifying themselves. So these people purified themselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for your brothers. Love one another deeply from the heart. It's an encouragement in a time of testing and trial to continue to love one another. The simple fact is this: when people are under stress, the worst of people comes out of them. These people were under the stress of suffering persecution. Human tendency would be to get on each other's nerves and express this in unloving ways. So Peter is saying, guys, you've known what it's like to treat each other with brotherly love, even agape style love. Now continue to do that, because this is part of your salvation, in the sense that it's the community aspect of the body of Christ that will help you get through the present sufferings. The body of Christ is important. Yes, the Holy Spirit is important. Yes, Jesus is important. Yes, our faith and trust in Him is important. Yes, as we've been saying, our hope for the future resurrection is important. But along with these things is the support we find in the body of Christ. And such support these days, in some cases, if not many cases, is just not there. Verse 23, "For you have been born again." Born again is the second time I believe Peter has used his terminology. John uses it in John 3 and in his letters, because the early Christian church, when they gave themselves to Jesus, they understood, and by experience, it was true. It was a transforming experience. It was like being born again. It was not some simple little "forgive me, Jesus" prayer, and you go living your life as if something hardly had ever happened. Becoming a Christian for these people was a major transforming thing in their lives, equivalent to being born. Now I say this, that there are many people claiming to be Christian who have just accepted the idea that their sins are forgiven. They have never had this transforming experience about being born again. The question arises, are these people real Christians? Well, that is, it's a good question. And in many cases, I would probably say they are not a real Christian. The Apostle Paul himself said in Romans 8, I believe verse 11, that if you do not have the Spirit of God, you do not belong to God. The words being born again, as John uses them in John 3, is being born again of the Holy Spirit. Being born again cannot be separated from the Holy Spirit. So if you do not have the Holy Spirit, you're not born again. It's the Holy Spirit that causes this transformation of a new birth. So just you as an individual making a decision, even if it was at an altar, to decide to believe, is not the full story when it comes to salvation, conversion, being born again. These people were born again, not of perishable seed, as the text states, but of imperishable seed through the living and enduring Word of God. Word of God in the Bible is used in two senses. It's speaking about every word that comes out of God's mouth that we have printed in our Bibles. The Word of God is also associated with the Lord Jesus Christ. John 1:1 actually calls Jesus the Word. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and he wasn't just with God, but he was God. John goes on to say, without this Word, nothing was created. It was the Word of God, Jesus himself, who created all things on this planet. And it's this enduring Word that causes salvation to come to individual people. Verse 24, and Peter quotes Isaiah 40:6-8, all men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flower of the field. The grass withers and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord stands forever. Now Peter is comparing humanity to grass that dries up and withers, to flowers in a field that eventually just dry up and withers and falls to the ground. Peter understood something that many Christians do not understand today, and that is our life here on earth is a minuscule amount of time in comparison to eternity. Our life on earth and anything associated with this world is like a blade of grass that will die in a few short days of extreme sun. This mentality must be foundational in the minds of Christians. We as Christians, I believe, way too many times think way too much of ourselves, when in fact, this is how we should think of ourselves. Our existence on this planet is just next to nothing. Therefore, with this mentality, Peter could give his whole life to the ministry of the gospel because he knew that he had all of eternity to him enjoy himself in the presence of the Lord. Forsaking anything in this life to be servants of the Lord is nothing in comparison to what lies ahead of us. Now, some people will say, this is a very depressing way to view humanity. It does nothing for one's self-esteem. But I say this, unless you understand this to be the reality of who you are, nothing can be built on that which will build your self-esteem. The prophet says, our hearts are deceitful and desperately wicked. It's beyond even knowing. That's how we have to view ourselves. From that foundation stone, we build on it. And one thing we build on it is, because of the cross, God has viewed, does view, and will view the Christian as being perfectly righteous, even though we are far from it. He views us as being more than a blade of grass, even though that is all we are. So many of us emphasize the point that God views us as being an eternal blade of grass, to the exclusion that we aren't that eternal blade of grass. I believe that to the degree we understand our fallibility here on earth will be the degree that we can appreciate the concept, the truth, that God views us as being perfectly righteous in his sight. If we don't grasp the idea that we are a blade of grass, we will not appreciate what God has done for us who are simply flower that dies off and blows in the wind. Peter goes on to say, and this is the word that was preached. Peter preached that word. Paul preached that word. Others preached the word. And the prophets of old preached it through the scriptures. Chapter 2, verse 1. Therefore, because we are these blades of grass, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. See, because we are just fallible blades of grass, our tendency is to be and to do these negative things. Even more so under the stress of suffering persecution. It's just another reminder by Peter. Guys, you're being stressed out. Be careful not to let your human fallibility rise to the surface and cause dissension among you, because you need each other in this present stress. Verse 2, like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk. Pure spiritual milk, everybody understands that to be the teaching of God's word, especially the foundational teachings of God's word. Teaching in our day and age is becoming something that has, well, I would say, become non-existent in some churches. We preach, we inspire, we do not educate, we do not teach. I call that inspired ignorance. Hosea 4:6 says, my people are destroyed because of lack of knowledge. We in this generation of Christianity distinguish between preaching and teaching. Preaching being inspirational, teaching being instructional. The Bible, especially the New Testament, does not make that distinction. Preaching in Peter and Paul's day was teaching. It was instructional. It wasn't the music that was supposed to inspire Christians. It's not the flamboyant way a preacher speaks that's supposed to inspire Christians. It is the Word of God carried to the hearts and minds of people by the Holy Spirit that is to do the inspiration. We as preachers often get in the way. We think we need to do the inspiration. That's not New Testament thinking. So that by it you may grow up in your salvation. Growing up in our salvation. We cannot grow up in our salvation without the pure spiritual milk of the word. That's why we have so many emaciated Christians around these days, because the church has been laying aside biblical instruction. It's just like this. You can hug your little baby as much as you can, but those hugs are not going to help that baby grow. You need to feed that baby food. Hugs just doesn't cut it when it comes to the healthy growth of a child. Now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. He uses the word taste here because he's talking about spiritual, pure food. These people have tasted that the Lord is good. And once you taste, let's continue to dine at his table and be fed by the word of God so that we can be mature and that the body of Christ will grow up to be the body it is supposed to be as Jesus' representatives in this world. This ends this section.